The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky, dramatized by Michelin Wando. With Stuart Wilson as Mitya, Eleanor Braun as Grushenka, Michael Maloney as Alyosha, and Tim Brierley as Ivan. Episode 6, The Questions Begin.
My name is Alyosha Karamazov. I am the youngest of the three brothers Karamazov. My eldest brother, Mitya, has been charged with the brutal murder of our father. He has been questioned through the night by the town's examining magistrate, Mr. Nelyudov, and the public prosecutor, Mr. Kirillovich. It's now 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, shall we proceed, Mr. Karamazov?
Certainly, Mr. Nelyudov.
Nelyudov was very short-sighted, with large, light-gray, protruding eyes. He wore glasses, which he put on or took off whenever he wanted to emphasize a point.
If we can establish the facts, we may be able to get home for what's left of a good night's sleep.
Please, ask anything you like.
I would like to establish your movements during the past 24 hours. Last night, I believe you borrowed 10 rubles from a Mr. Pyotr Pakotin.
Yes, I did. Is the clerk writing this down?
We must have a record, sir.
I see. Very well. Actually, gentlemen, if you don't mind my suggesting it, we should go back to the day before yesterday when I went to one of our local merchants, Kuzma Samsonov, to borrow 3,000 rubles.
I see.
Now, I offered him excellent collateral, and...
Why did you need 3,000 rubles?
Mr. Kirillovich, please don't ask irrelevant questions. It really isn't important to know stupid details like why and when and how much. We'll be here all night if we get bogged down in trivia.
Very well, Mr. Karamazov. Tell it in your own way.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I know you're only doing your job.
Come in.
Excuse me. I thought you might like some tea.
Capital. Very good idea.
I'll just bring it in, then. I brought some bread as well. You all right, Mr. Karamazov?
Yes, thank you, Trifon. I'm fine. I'm just having a chat. How is Grushenka?
Worried, sir.
Do tell her I'm fine. Thank you, Trifon.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's all on the house.
He's a good man, Trifon. I could do with some tea. I put away a fair amount last night, you know. I'm not drunk now. No. Mind you, I'm a lot wittier when I'm drunk.
Shall we continue,
yes,
sir?
Yes, yes. I suppose one way or another I'm a criminal. After all, I did knock down that other old man. Poor Grigori.
We'll come to the matter of your father's servant later.
How much will I get for that?
Difficult to say. Could be 6 months.
Let's get back to the facts.
Yes. The facts. Now, would you mind not asking me about my feelings, about my motives, why I may have done this or that? I get very confused when you do that. I mean, you'll grasp every single tiny thing I say and put it in writing and use it against me.
Every detail is important at this stage, sir.
I see. I suppose that is part of your method. You feed me irrelevant questions such as, what did I have for breakfast? What time did I go to the lavatory? And then suddenly, when I'm off guard, you'll throw in a significant question, such as, whom did I murder? I am not a peasant. I'm a soldier. I know these tricks.
I understand your concern. Let me reassure you, Mr. Karamazov, I am not in the least interested in what you had for breakfast yesterday.
Good. Now, we are all men of integrity and honor. We must trust each other like the men of noble birth that we are.
Oh, God.
Now, gentlemen, I know that you are on my side and you want to get at the truth. Now, so do I.
Can we get on, please?
Be patient, Mr. Kirillovich. Mr. Karamazov?
At your service, sir.
I would still like an answer to my question. Why did you need 3,000 rubles?
For all sorts of things.
Such as?
Well, to pay off a debt.
To whom did you owe money?
I refuse to answer that.
Why do you refuse?
Not because I can't, or because I dare not, or because I'm afraid. I won't answer because it is completely trivial.
I don't understand.
It is a private matter. It's none of your business. A matter of principle, if you must know. I wanted to repay a debt of honour. That is all I'm prepared to say.
Clark, record this.
Yes, sir.
You can also record that I categorically refuse to give you any names. You may even say that I consider it dishonourable to name the person. Good God, the time you waste writing things down.
No, I must caution you, sir. You have a perfect right to refuse to answer our questions, and we cannot force you. But it is also my duty to point out that by refusing to answer, you may be withholding evidence which could be to your own advantage.
What are you trying to do to me?
Mr. Karamazov, I have something here in my briefcase that I'd very much like you to look at. Here. Do you recognize this?
It's a brass pestle.
Do you recognize it?
Yes, I recognize it.
You haven't mentioned it to us, have you?
Give me a chance, for heaven's sake. Are you saying that I'm withholding information?
Well, perhaps you could tell us how you come to recognize the pestle.
Certainly I can tell you. It was on the hall table in Grishenka's house. I went to see her yesterday, and on my way out, I grabbed the pestle and ran off with it.
Why did you take it?
I don't know.
It seems a little strange to arm yourself with such a dangerous weapon.
Does it seem strange?
Well, what was the point of taking it?
There wasn't any point. I just grabbed it.
Didn't you have any purpose in mind?
I'm beginning to wish I hadn't been so honest about it.
Now, please try and answer the question.
Look, I took it to protect myself against dogs.
Oh.
It was night. It was dark. I didn't know who or what I might meet.
You're frightened of the dark, are you?
You're impossible. Clark, start a fresh page and write this down. I took the pestle because I wanted to kill my father, Fyodor Karamazov, by hitting him on the head with it. There, gentlemen, are you satisfied?
Mr. Karamazov, we are not stupid. We know you've just spoken in the heat of the moment because you're exasperated at our questions. Let me assure you again, we are not wasting your time.
But what if I did grab the pestle? Why does one do such things? I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I just grabbed it and ran off with it. That's all there was to it.
Clark, go and get us some more tea, will you?
Yes, sir.
When we were talking just now, I was reminded of a dream I have quite often. Someone is chasing me in the dark. I hide behind a door or in a cupboard, but somehow he always finds me. He knows where I'm hiding, and he just pretends not to know so as to make me suffer more. And that is exactly what you're doing to me now.
Any other dreams you'd like to tell us about?
Why don't you get your bloody little clerk to write that one down?
No, sir. Your dream won't be written down.
And it should be. It's real. It's what's happening here and now in this room. I'm the wolf. You're the hunters. You're stalking your prey and watching it, enjoying its agony.
That's a little unfair, sir.
No, it isn't. It isn't at all unfair. When you talk to criminals and prisoners, guilty men, you have a perfect right not to believe a word they say. I am a man of honour.
The tea, sir?
Thank you.
I'll pour it, shall I?
Thank you. Now, let us continue. You have the brass pestle in your pocket.
Yes.
And then?
And then I murdered him, hit him on the head, and split his skull open. Wasn't that where we left off?
I'm interested in what you think, sir.
Do you really want to know what I think?
Yes, sir.
I think... I think that as I stood there, outside my father's open window, that I heard someone weeping. Perhaps my mother was interceding on my behalf with God. Perhaps a good angel gave me its blessing. But at that moment, the devil in me was conquered. My father must have seen me. I probably frightened him, and he jumped back from the window with a shout. I remember that very clearly.
What did you do?
I ran across the garden. I started climbing the fence. I just reached the top when Grigori came rushing across the garden and he grabbed me. Gentlemen, are you laughing at me?
Why on earth do you think we're laughing?
You don't believe a single word I'm saying. And of course, how could you? You can see the old man lying there with his head smashed in, and here am I giving you some melodrama about how I ran away from his window. How can you take me seriously?
Did you happen to notice whether the garden door at the other end of the house was open or shut?
It was shut.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. Why?
It was open when we went to the house.
Who could have opened it?
We think that whoever murdered your father must have got into the house through that door. The murder was committed in your father's bedroom.
How can you tell?
By the position of the body and other evidence.
That proves I'm innocent. I didn't go into the bedroom. I'm absolutely certain that the door into the house was shut all the time I was in the garden. I remember every detail very clearly. The door must have been shut because my father would only have opened it if he'd been given the right signals.
Signals?
Only three of us knew the signals. My father's other servant, Smedyakov, my father and myself.
What kind of signals?
Oh, you didn't know about them, did you? Well, if I don't tell you, who will? Poor old Smedyakov is still in his epileptic fit. My father's dead and heaven won't give away any secrets. What an interesting piece of information this might be. What a wonderful edifice of suspicion you could build on it.
He's off again.
Please, Kirillovich.
I shall tell you. You know why? Because I'm that rare and honourable creature, a man who will give evidence which may be used against him. See, that's the difference between you and me. I'm a man of honour, and you're not.
Tell us about these signals.
My father had an elaborate set of signals.
What for?
My father was after Grushenka. He lived in the hope that she would visit him. He had arranged with Smedyakov that after dark no one was allowed near the house unless the servant first gave the appropriate signal.
And you knew the signal?
Yes.
How did that come about?
Smedyakov told me.
I see. Now, when you were in the garden, outside your father's window...
I knocked on the window. And that meant Grushenka is here. There you are. It's a lovely piece of evidence, isn't it?
If Smedyakov knew the signals, surely he could also have tapped on the signal. Got your father to open the window?
No. You won't catch me that way. I won't clutch at straws and jump up and down and shout, "Of course Smedyakov did it. He's the murderer."
Karamazov, really?
I am not going to accuse Smedyakov.
Don't you suspect him?
Why do you?
He is bound to be one of our suspects.
Did anyone else know about the signals?
I just told you, no. Oh, I'm sorry, I tell a lie. God knew. At some point, I presume you will need to question even God.
That isn't funny, Mr.
Well, it is true that I have thought about Smedyakov now and again, but it isn't the sort of thing that he would do.
Why are you so sure?
Because he's a coward. He's the sum and substance of every single kind of cowardice you can imagine. Whenever we talked, he trembled with fear. He fell at my feet. He cried. He literally kissed my boots. An 8-year-old boy could attack him and he wouldn't fight back.
What about your father's money?
Smedyakov doesn't want money. Anyway, why should he kill my father? I mean, the old man was probably his natural father anyway. I'm sure you gentlemen know the gossip.
Oh, yes, we know the gossip.
But old Mr. Karamazov was your father. And you freely admitted that you went round saying you wanted to kill him.
I also said, if you will remember, that as I was standing there in the garden wanting to kill my father, my guardian angel came and saved me from my dreadful impulse. I did not kill my father.
You said that.
You better talk to Smedyakov yourself.
I'm afraid we can't do that. He's unconscious.
But I hope you're not going to say that I attacked him as well.
No, he had an epileptic fit. The doctor thinks it's very serious. He may not last long.
Then there is only one answer to all your questions.
What's that, sir?
The devil must have killed my father.
Let's go back to the garden. You climbed the fence. How were you sitting on the fence?
Astride.
Can you be a little more precise?
One leg was one side of the fence and the other leg was on the other side.
And the pestle?
The pestle was in my hand.
Grigori, your father's old servant, came running across the garden and you hit him with the pestle.
That's right.
Did you hit the old man very hard?
I suppose I must have.
Did you put the pestle back in your pocket?
No.
Would you show us exactly how you sat on the fence? Just demonstrate on that chair.
Are you serious?
Yes. Show us.
All right, then. I was sitting on the fence like this. Then he grabbed my leg, and I leaned down, and I hit him like this. That's how I killed him. Or I thought I had.
Then you jumped off the fence back into the garden?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
Why? To look at the man I just knocked down. I don't know why.
You mean you actually jumped back into...
I told you, yes.
Did you want to help the old man, perhaps?
Of course not. Well, I may. I can't remember.
You mean you weren't in a fit state to remember?
I remember everything down to the tiniest detail. I jumped down... I knelt to have a look at him. I wiped the blood off his face with my handkerchief.
You wanted to see whether you had killed him?
I suppose so. I thought he was dead and I ran away.
You could have had only one reason for jumping back into the garden.
What's that?
To make sure that there were no witnesses left alive. Crack at any time now and then, you'd have...
Just a minute. So you ran off, your hands and face covered in blood.
I didn't... No, my hands and face were covered in blood. I was going to kill myself. I was going to get my dueling pistols and kill myself.
After going out on the town?
What? There was nothing left to live for. Grushenka's first lover had come back for her. I had killed Grigori, my father's servant, the old man who had brought me up.
Where precisely were you going to kill yourself?
On the edge of the town at dawn. I wrote a suicide note.
Where is it?
I think I've still got it. Here. Read it.
I'm punishing myself for my entire life. Thank you.
May I have it back, please?
I'm afraid we'll have to keep it as evidence.
Now, you went to get your pistols back from Mr. Pakotin.
Yes.
He tells us you had rather a lot of money on you at the time and that your hands were bloodstained.
Yes.
Where did you get that money from? Did you go home to get it? You told us you had no money.
Isn't it incredible? One minute I have no money, the next I have thousands of rubles. I know what you're thinking. What if he won't tell us where he got it? Well, I won't. I won't tell you where it came from.
I'm afraid you will have to tell us.
Is that so?
You are, of course, at liberty to refuse to answer questions.
But it won't do me any good.
It is up to you.
Oh, I have been stupid, haven't I?
You're going to tell us.
No. Imagining that you were gentlemen, that I could trust you. It's ridiculous. I'm not going to tell you. Think what you like.
Mr. Karamazov, perhaps you could tell us why you don't want to tell us.
Oh, I can tell you that, all right. I can't tell you where I got the money from, because it would cast a slur upon my honour, even worse than the slur that I might have murdered my father. That's not for the record, of course.
I'm afraid everything you say has to be recorded.
I really am an idiot. I make you a present of something and you turn it against me. What kind of men are you?
I believe you told Mr. Pakotin that Mrs. Kokarkov had given you 3,000 rubles.
Perhaps I did.
But it wasn't true?
It wasn't true.
Very well. If you won't give us any information about the money, we shall have to do some detective work. Turn out your pockets.
What?
Put everything on the table.
On the table?
Please don't repeat everything I say, sir. Take everything out of your pockets and put it on the table.
There you are. You can count the money if you like.
Is that all?
Sit.
€836
and 40 kopecks.
Now, you spent 300 rubles in Plotnikov's shop on food and wine. You gave the coachman 20 for bringing you here. Then you lost 200 rubles at cards here last night.
You have been doing your homework.
So you must have started out last night with about 1,500 rubles.
Sounds about right.
Everyone we've talked to seems to think you had a lot more on you.
I can't explain that.
Look, the money will be quite safe with us, sir. At the end of the proceedings, it will all be returned to you, provided you have a legal right to it.
I see.
We shall have to search you, sir.
I have just emptied my pockets.
That isn't enough, I'm afraid.
What do you mean?
We'll have to search your clothes.
My clothes?
You can undress behind that screen if you prefer.
Undress?
You're repeating my words again, sir. Undress. Take your clothes off. Clark, would you go and get some more tea, please?
Yes, sir.
And,
this is unbelievable. Are you ordering me to sit?
You can put it like that if you like.
If you go behind the screen, you can hand your clothes out to us.
I've never heard anything like it.
Do you need any help, sir?
Certainly not.
Then, please get on with it.
Do you mind shutting the door, then?
No one will come in, sir, not while we're here.
How do you know?
Get on with it.
I shall make a formal complaint about this. There's my coat.
Thank you. That bloodstains on the coat.
Large bloodstains.
Dry and hard, but not flaking. Check the seams to see if there's any money sewn in them.
You think I am a common thief?
Have you got your shirt?
You are.
Thank you. Blood stain on the sleeve. Cuff turned up to hide it. Where did you get this stain, sir?
Must have been when I was bending over Grigori. When I washed my hands at Pagotin's house, I forgot to roll my cuff down.
We'll have your socks as well, sir.
Are you mad?
No.
Do you want to see my ingrown toenail?
No, thank you, sir.
Now, what the hell am I supposed to do?
There's a blanket behind the screen. Wrap that round you.
Here we are, sir. Tea and the clothes.
Good. Take these, Mr. Karamazov. You can get dressed again.
These aren't my clothes.
Those are your socks, aren't they?
My socks, yes, but these aren't my trousers, or my shirt, or my coat.
I'm afraid we'll have to hold on to those as evidence. The landlord has kindly said you may borrow these other garments.
Where are these rags? Give me back my clothes!
I'm sorry, that's not possible.
The hell do you mean?
Mr. Karamazov, please. You must understand the situation. We shall need these clothes as exhibits during the trial.
Trial?
Mr. Trifon has assured me that these clothes are perfectly clean. Now, let me help you on with them.
These trousers are too long.
You can hitch them up a little at the waist. There. The coat fits rather well, doesn't it?
I suppose they'll do. Are you staring at Clark? Stop him staring at me!
Clark,
pour the tea. Mr. Karamazov is a little chilly.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kirillovich, why don't you just flog me and have done with it?
I would like to know where you got the money. The 3,000 rubles.
Where did you get the stone in your ring, Mr. Nelyudov?
Which stone?
That one. On your middle finger, that smoky one, that topaz.
I was given.
You can't tell me where it comes from, can you?
Look, I'm not afraid of anything you can do to me. A few hours ago, I was prepared to commit suicide. But I can't stand this piecemeal torture. I haven't got anything more to tell you. No confession to make. Nothing.
Someone killed your father.
The man who opened the garden door killed my father.
Old Grigori is sure the garden door was open.
It's a lie.
He swears it was open.
He was seeing things. I wasn't in the house.
Nelyudov, show it to him.
What? What now?
This envelope. Three seals on it.
What can you tell us about it?
This must be the envelope he kept the money in. Look, says to my little chicken on it. It's not for Grishenka.
And where is the money?
How the hell should I know?
It was empty when we found it, on the floor near your father's bed. Have you ever seen this envelope before?
No, never.
But you knew about it.
Yes, of course I did. Smedyakov told me. He was the only one who knew where it was kept. It must have been him. After I attacked Grigori, Smedyakov must have given one of the prearranged signals, got my father to open the garden door, and then killed him. He's the only other person who knew the signals.
But Grigori told us the garden door was open before he saw you, before you attacked him.
There must have been a ghost.
Let me put our dilemma before you. We have evidence that the garden door was open. You appear to have a large sum of money in your possession, and you refuse to tell us where you got it from. A large sum of money was stolen from your father's bedroom. It doesn't look good, does it?
Oh, God. God. All right. I'll tell you.
Good.
Very good. Clark, take this down carefully.
Yes, sir.
When you're ready, Mr. Karamazov.
The money was mine.
Yours?
The money was mine. Well, I stole it, so in a way it wasn't mine. I had 1,500 rubles.
I don't follow you.
I kept it sewn in a bit of cloth hanging round my neck.
Where did it come from?
I told you I stole it.
How long ago?
About a month.
Whom did you steal it from?
From my fiancée.
From Miss Grushenka Svetlov?
She isn't my fiancée. My fiancée is Miss Katerina Vakotsev.
Let me get this straight. You are engaged to one young lady, and you've just spent a night wining and dining another.
Yes. She is the noblest soul in the world.
No, you've lost me now.
A month ago, Katerina gave me 3,000 rubles and asked me to send the money to her sister in Moscow. Mm. That was about the time I first met Grishenka.
So you spent the money on Grishenka?
I spent 1,500 and I kept the other 1,500 sewn in a bit of cloth around my neck.
But everyone here says you spent 3,000 here a month ago.
Oh, yeah. Did they stand there counting it as I spent it?
You boasted of spending 3,000.
Yes, I did. I was lying. I only spent 1,500.
No, I find that very strange. Now, why should you lie? Why should you boast? Even Nelyudov and I had heard you spent 3,000 rubles.
We discussed it at great length at cards one night.
So the knowledge was already, as it were, public property. Why did you lie?
Why did I lie? I was embarrassed because the money wasn't really mine in the first place.
Given that you already felt like a thief, why on earth didn't you spend the lot?
For purely devious, selfish reasons. If I'd spent the lot and then gone back to Katerina and confessed, I would have looked like a completely unscrupulous thief. But if I only spent 1,500 and then went back to Katerina, admitted that I'd spent half and gave her the rest, then at least I'm partly redeemable.
Why didn't you give it back to me?
I just didn't get round to it.
What were you planning to do with the other 1,500?
I hoped that Grushenka would come away with me. If she did, well, I needed the money, didn't I? I sewed the money up in a bit of cloth so that I shouldn't be tempted to spend it on drink.
Very commendable, sir.
You don't understand, do you? You just don't understand! I was carrying the money here, near my heart. And every day I said to myself, you're a thief. That's why I quarreled with my father and attacked him. I was so ashamed. Now, last night, I finally decided to face the truth about myself, accept the fact that I was a thief and spend the money.
What was so special about last night?
I had decided to die. It made no difference whether I died an honest man or a thief. At least, that's what I thought. But I was wrong. There is a difference. It's just as impossible to die dishonestly as it is to live dishonestly.
I think I understand that.
I'm quite sure that you don't.
But I still don't understand why you couldn't have told Katerina. If she were as noble as you described her, surely she would have been prepared to lend you money.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I couldn't ask her for money to spend on another woman.
It looks good. The fact that you were thinking of returning half the money to Katerina. Did anyone else know about the money?
No one. Please. Please leave me alone now.
The problem is that we have dozens of witnesses who will swear they saw you spend 3,000 rubles.
Dozens? Well, you'll find hundreds if you look properly. I told a lie, and they're simply repeating it. That is all. I boasted. I bragged. I showed off.
Why?
Why do people tell lies?
Where is the piece of cloth in which you kept the money?
No idea.
Or where were you when you took the money out of it?
In the street somewhere.
Did you use scissors?
No.
Well, what did you do with the cloth?
I threw it away.
Well, where exactly?
What the hell do I know?
You know how to sew.
All soldiers learn how to sew.
Well, where did you get the cloth?
I don't remember.
Well, what kind of material was it?
No. Calico, I think. From my landlady's cat.
You're sure about that?
Yes. What does it matter anyway?
Well, where did you get the needle and thread from?
Go and search the streets. Look through the dustbins. Would you stop torturing me?
It's 8 o'clock, Kirillovich.
If I was going to shoot myself at dawn, I've missed it.
Have we finished the preliminary investigations, Nelyudov?
Preliminary? My God.
Oh, it's raining.
Well, we'll have some more tea before we see the witnesses.
I thought we were finished.
Oh, well, we're finished with you for the moment. But we have some other witnesses, and we'd like you to be present.
The rain was lashing against the dirty window pane. Outside, the road was wet and muddy, and further away, through a misty haze, Meteor could see rows of tumble-down peasants' cottages. When tea and bread were brought in, he refused. Kirillovich and Nelyudov interviewed a number of witnesses, asking each how much money Meteor had had on him.
Well, when Mr. Karamazov came here last month with Miss Svetlov, he couldn't have spent less than 3,000 rubles. You can ask anyone. We must have spent at least 1,000 on the gypsies.
No more than 500, Trifon.
You were chucking money around on the floor, sir, and they were picking it up.
Let's ask them.
Can't, sir. They've all moved on. Not that any of them can count, anyway.
Mr. Karamazov says he only had 1,500.
Oh, no.
What about last night?
3,000.
Are you quite sure?
Oh, yes. I heard you shout out that you were leaving your 6,000 here. Everyone heard you.
3 and 3 make 6.
Oh, and there was something else.
What is that, Mr. Trifon?
I heard him offer the Polish gentleman 3,000 rubles to leave town. That was the gentleman Miss Svetlov came here to meet.
How dare you? That's a private matter. I didn't have 3,000 rubles to give him.
You promised to give him 700 down and the rest tomorrow. That's today, now.
So he could have hidden the rest of the money somewhere in town.
It was a bluff. I couldn't have given him the money. I would have offered him one of the deeds to the property my father owed me. He would have got far more than a measly 3,000 rubles.
finally, they called in Grushenka. She was pale, hugging her black shawl round her.
Miss Svetlov, what exactly is your relationship with Mr. Karamazov?
He is a friend.
Forgive me for asking you this, but do you love him?
I liked him. I would not say that I was in love with him then.
I believe you had some sort of relationship with his father.
Yes. I flirted with his father.
Was Mr. Karamazov, the son, jealous of Mr. Karamazov, the father?
Oh, yes. Old Mr. Karamazov thought it was all very funny. But I must be honest, this past week or so I haven't thought much about either of them. I was preoccupied with someone else.
We needn't bother with that, my dear. When you came here last month with Mr. Dmitri Karamazov, I believe he spent a lot of money.
That's right.
How much?
Oh, about 3,000 rubles.
Did you actually count it?
Of course not. Mitya told me. He talked about it quite freely.
Thank you, Miss Svetlov.
Miss Svetlov, did you ever hear him say, either in private or in public, that he meant to kill his father?
Mitya.
Grushenka, you must be honest, please.
I'm afraid he did.
How often?
Several times, when he was angry.
Did you believe he would do it?
Never! He is an honourable man!
Grushenka, I swear that I did not kill my father.
I know. I believe you. When he gets angry, sir, he'll say anything. He's got a good conscience. He wouldn't lie.
Thank you, Grushenka.
This money. Did he tell you where he got it from?
Yes. He told me he'd been given the money by Katerina, but he was going to return it to me.
No, I'm sorry, that... Which money are we talking about now?
The money he had a month ago.
Ah. That will be all, Miss Svetlov.
May I have a private word with Mitya before I go?
Please do. Don't mind us.
Yes, I think all it is...
Forgive me, Grushenka.
Oh, don't be silly. Mitya. I meant what I said last night. I love you, and I'll be yours forever.
If you will excuse us, Miss Svetlov.
Yes. Goodbye, Mitya.
Goodbye, Grushenka. Please don't worry about me. Now what, gentlemen?
I'm afraid you will have to remain in custody until the trial. We have some paperwork to do before we go.
May I lie down?
You can rest on the couch behind the screen for a few moments. We won't be long.
Thank you.
Mitya lay down and fell asleep immediately. He dreamed he was driving somewhere in the steppe. He was a regular army officer, being driven by a peasant. It was very cold, and snow was falling in large, wet flakes, which melted as soon as they touched the ground.
There's the village, sir.
How bleak it looks.
All burned down, sir. Just a few charred beams left.
A row of peasant women lining the road, haggard and thin. One woman, very tall, holding a baby. She looks 40, but she can't be more than 20. Why are they crying?
It's the baby, sir. The baby is crying.
Why is it crying? Why are its arms bare? Why doesn't its mother wrap it up?
The baby's cold, sir. Its clothes are frozen.
Why?
They're poor, sir.
Why are they poor? Why are the women standing there? Why aren't they happy? Why doesn't she feed the baby? I must do something to stop the baby crying.
I love you, and I'll be yours forever.
Grushenka loves me. My heart is full. I must stay alive.
Mr. Karamazov. Wake up.
What? What am I?
You've been asleep. The statement is ready for you to sign now.
I have had a wonderful dream. I am ready to sign my statement, gentlemen.
Outside the inn, a cart was waiting to take Mitya back to town and prison. The rain had stopped, and the dull sky was overcast. A sharp wind was blowing straight into Mitya's face. As Mitya was being driven to prison in a rickety cart, in another part of town, Kolya and Smurov were going to visit a school friend, Ilyusha Snegiryov.
Look at the time. We better hurry. When we get there, you go in first. And if Alyosha is there, ask him if he'd mind coming out to have a word with me.
Why don't you come in and talk to him?
I've got my reasons.
What reasons?
The little boy shouldn't be nosy. Here we are. Go on. Don't forget.
Righto.
Kolya waited, running up and down the street to keep himself warm.
Kolya, Smurov said you wanted to talk to me.
Oh, yes, Mr. Karamazov.
Oh, well, I've heard a lot about you. Pleased to meet you.
I've heard a lot about you as well. How is Ilyusha?
It's very bad, I'm afraid.
Is he going to die?
Yes.
You must admit, Karamazov, that the medical profession is useless.
Oh, well, that's a little sweeping. Ilyusha often talks about you, you know. Is that your dog?
Yes.
Yes, well, you know, it looks a bit like that old mongrel Ilyusha used to have.
I want to tell you something.
Well, let's walk down the road. We'll freeze if we stay here.
All right, Mum. Stay there. I wanted to tell you about Ilyusha and me. I'm two classes higher than him. And when he started coming to school, he just looked terrible. Clothes all ragged and holes in his shoes. Well, the others teased him. Well, I didn't approve of that, so I took him under my wing.
You became friends?
Well, not exactly. He looked up to me. Well, he was devoted to me. Did everything I told him. Then he started arguing with me. I noticed that the less I reacted to him, the more angry he got. So, to teach him to be a man, I grew colder and colder. I thought it would train his character. But one day he was very, very miserable.
Because of you?
No, he got friendly with your father's servant, Smerdyakov, who turned this really mean trick. Well, you take a piece of bread and stick a pin in it, and you throw it to some stray dog. You see, it's so starving, it'll swallow anything. So, Ilyusha had this stray dog. He'd adopted as a sort of pet. And he did that with a pin and a piece of bread. And he threw the bread to Zushka, his dog. And Zushka ate it and ran away. The dog disappeared, and he was terribly upset.
Yes, I can imagine.
Well, I pretended to be really angry about it. I wouldn't talk to him. Anyway, that was when your brother Mitya beat up his father, and all the boys attacked Ilyusha in the playground. Well, I was just about to go and help him when he came straight at me with his penknife and just stuck it in my leg. Oh, I didn't flinch.
You must have been very brave.
Well, I didn't even tell my mother about it.
And then Ilyusha got ill.
Well, yes. I wanted to come and visit him, but I couldn't.
Ilyusha has been saying that God is punishing him with illness because of what he did to the dog.
Well, is he?
No one can find the dog.
Well, it was just a stray, wasn't it?
It meant a lot to Ilyusha.
I can see that you understand people.
How old are you?
Oh, I hate it when people ask me how old I am. I'll be 14 next month. I wanted to meet you, Mr. Karamazov, because I think you understand young people, and I would like to learn from you.
Well, I'd like to learn from you, too.
But you talk to me as if I were an equal. I like that. Shall we go in, then? We can leave the door open, and I'll give Ilyusha a surprise.
Ilyusha lived with his parents and crippled sister in a cramped, stuffy room. The boy was in bed.
Ilyusha, where did you go?
I went outside for a minute. You've got a visitor, Ilyusha. Someone special.
Hello!
Kolya!
Krasotkin, how very nice of you to come.
How do you do, Mr. Snegidov? I trust you are well.
Ilyusha's face was wasted and yellow, his eyes huge, burning, his hands thin.
How are you then, Ilyusha?
Well, you know...
Kolya, sit down on the bed. Ilyusha won't mind.
Thanks. I've got my dog outside. It's called Perezvon. Would you like to see him?
I don't know.
I'll call him for you.
Perhaps it's not a good
idea. Of course it's a good idea.
Another time, Krasotkin.
Perezvon, here, boy.
Krasotkin.
He can do tricks. Look,
Beg for this one. Beg.
Then get that dog out of here.
No, Father.
Sit for this one. Good dog.
Father, it's Zushka.
What?
That's right. Just you described him to me. Blind in one eye, a torn left ear. You see, he couldn't have swallowed that piece of bread. He must have spat it out and run off.
But he was squealing and yelping.
Well, the pin may have stuck in his mouth, but he must have spat it out, or else he wouldn't be here, would he?
Oh, Krasov, kid. Oh, you are so clever.
Hold on, Claudia.
He's got another trick. Smurov's already seen it. Look, for this one, play dead. There, what do you think?
That's pretty good.
I can even wave a piece of meat under his nose and he won't eat it inside. Tell him. That's why I'm mean to see you, Alusha. I was training the dog.
Can I stroke him?
Of course. He's yours, really. Only I call him Perezvon.
Perezvon, come here.
I'm not seized. Pleased to see you.
Collie, thank you.
Oh, it's nothing.
Collie is very brave, Mr. Karamazov. One day he lay down on the railway tracks and let a train run over him.
Oh. Well, not on the tracks. Just between them.
Weren't you scared?
Oh, no.
He's top of the class in nearly everything.
Well, what subjects do you like best?
Well, the only subjects I really respect are mathematics and natural sciences. Oh, I just hate classical languages.
He's top of the class in Latin.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't prove anything. I promised my mother I would work hard. And if you're going to do something, you should do it well.
Ilyusha, the doctor is here.
Oh, come on, boys, we must go now.
I want Collier to stay.
He'll have to wait outside while the doctor sees you.
It's all right. I'll talk to Mr. Karamazov. Come on, Perezvon. See you in a minute, Ilyusha.
I've got to go home now. Goodbye, Ilyusha.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I'll follow you later, Smirnov.
Right then. See you.
Goodbye. Do you think the doctor will help him?
Ilyusha is going to die, Collier.
I hate doctors. They're all frauds and quacks.
I thought you believed in the natural sciences.
Well, that isn't the same. I've heard you were a mystic. You're in a monastery, aren't you? Or aren't you wearing a cassock?
I've left the monastery.
Well, that's all right then. Contact with the real life will cure you of your mysticism.
And what exactly is it I must be cured of?
Oh, God and all that sort of stuff.
Don't you believe in God?
I've got nothing against God. God is a necessary hypothesis. If there were no God, we'd have to be invented.
And my brother Ivan holds exactly the same point of view. It's a little cynical for such a young man as you.
I'm not young. I'm 14.
Nearly 14.
I believe that one can love humanity without believing in God. You see, Karamazov, I'm a socialist.
Hell. Well, a young socialist.
Age has got nothing to do with it. What matters is what I believe.
You sound as if you're quoting other people.
You only understand things in terms of people following authority. Look, you must admit that Christianity has been used by the rich to keep the poor in slavery. I've got nothing against Christ. If he'd been alive today, there'd probably be some sort of revolutionary.
Really?
You're laughing at me.
Not at all. I think it's a pity you've got such fixed ideas. There's a saying about a certain Russian schoolboy. Show him a map of the stars, a map he's never seen before, and he'll return it to you corrected the next day.
You could say that proves how arrogant I am. But there's another side to it. Independence of spirit. Bold thinking. Oh, I hope you don't despise me. I value your good opinion.
You're a sensitive young man.
Well, not really. I just show off. I go to the people and pretend it's me. Oh, I'm just horrible to everyone.
I'm sure that's not true.
I'm making a fool of myself
now.
Not
at all. You shouldn't be ashamed of showing your feelings.
I like you an awful lot.
You must be careful, Collier.
Why?
Because you may be unhappy when you're older.
How can you tell?
I feel it.
We're going to be friends, Karamazov, even though you're older and cleverer than me. Well, look, the doctor's leaving.
I'm afraid there's nothing more I can do for your son, Mr. Snegiryov. Oh, not God.
How long will it be?
Well, you must be ready for anything, any time.
Oh, for pity's sake, sir, there must be something.
Oh, well, I suppose there is a slight chance.
What, sir?
If you could send the patient to Syracuse.
Syracuse? But that's in Italy.
That's right.
Doctor, you've seen my house, my family.
Your family should go to the Caucasus in the spring. Your wife should take a course of the waters for her rheumatism. Then she should go to Paris for her heart.
Doctor, we couldn't possibly afford...
Quite. You asked me what could be done, and I've told you. My carriage is waiting. Good day, Mr. Snegiryov.
Get away. Is this your dog? Get it off me.
me.
Kolya, the dog.
Leave it.
Kolya!
Serves him right.
You ought to keep that dog under control.
You're lucky he didn't bite you. Pelasbon, come here, at once.
Kolya, behave yourself.
Well, there's only one man in the world who's allowed to tell Kolya Krasotkin off, and that's Alyosha Karamazov. Come on, Mr. Snegiryov. Let's go back inside.
Daddy, come here, Daddy.
Yes, my little Alyosha.
What did the doctor say?
He said you'd be all right.
That isn't true. I saw his face.
Oh, Alyosha.
You mustn't cry. When I die, you must get another boy and call him Alyosha and love him instead of me.
I'm going to get well, Alyosha.
I want you to bury me near the big stone where we used to go for walks. And Prezvon can come and bark at me. Mustn't forget me.
Alyosha, you should rest now.
Yes, I must go. I'll be late for dinner and my mother will be furious.
Will you come back and see me again?
Oh, of course I will. I'll bring Prezvon with me.
Goodbye. Thank you both.
Are you all right, Kolya?
Of course I am. I should have come to see him sooner. What's that?
I don't want another boy. Oh, if I forget thee, Jerusalem.
What does he mean?
It's from the Bible. If I forget thee, Jerusalem, that is to say, if I forget everything that is most precious to me...
I understand.
All right.
I must go. Goodbye.
Don't forget to come back again.
No, I won't. Oh, I nearly forgot. I have a message to deliver to you.
Oh.
Someone brought it round this morning. Here it is.
Thank you.
Come on, Prezvon.
My father's funeral took place a few days later. He hadn't many friends, but a lot of people came. More out of curiosity than sadness, I suspect. The following day, I was visited by someone I hadn't expected to see again for a long time.
Why the hell didn't you let me know?
How could I let you know? You didn't leave an address. You didn't write to anyone saying where you were, Ivar.
I went to Moscow.
Well, Moscow is a big place. How did you find out about father?
I read it in the newspapers. Marvellous, isn't it? You find out from the newspapers that your father's been murdered.
You shouldn't have disappeared like that.
I had to get out. I didn't think he'd actually do it.
What?
I didn't think Mitya would actually murder him.
What do you mean, murder him? Mitya didn't kill father?
Who did then?
Smerdyakov.
Oh, come off it.
That's what I think.
I don't think your affection for Mitya should blind you to the facts.
And I don't think your jealousy of Mitya should make you assume he's guilty.
Where is he?
In prison.
I mean, Smerdyakov.
Well, he's in hospital. His epilepsy's very bad. He's lucky to be alive.
What the hell did you mean about my jealousy of Mitya?
You know what I mean.
Spell it out.
I mean that you're still besotted with Katerina and she is still in love with Mitya.
You're very naive, Alyosha. It must have been that year in the monastery. Damaged your brain cells. Well, we seem to have exhausted all reasonable possibilities of conversation.
So it seems.
As far as I'm concerned, Alyosha, Mitya is guilty.
And so, all three of us, the brothers Karamazov, were home again, reunited by the death of our father, for which Mitya would soon stand trial.
In the sixth episode of The Brothers Karamazov by Fyodor Dostoevsky, Mitya was played by Stuart Wilson and Grushenka by Eleanor Braun. Alyosha was Michael Maloney, and Ivan, Tim Brierley. Nelyudov, Michael Deacon. Kirilovich, Terry Malloy. Snegiryov, Kim Durham. Trifon, Ray Llewellyn. Peasant, Susan Mansell. Ilyusha, Benjamin Rand. Kolya, Sam Barriscale. Smurov, David Clark. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Dramatized for radio by Micheline Wandor, The Brothers Karamazov was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Philip Martin. The Brothers Karamazov was translated by David Magashak.